our heads in the sand and act like there's no questions, I think is a huge mistake. And I think that's rather sad. And I think that we owe that to them. And that's why, I mean, I've done a lot of research on this. I know you have.
Mm-hmm. Right? I have. Yeah, it was Larry Silverstein who was the property owner.
Yep.
And then he had already, he collected $4.1 billion from insurers, yep, including QBE, who was the insurer. $4.1 billion.
And he had just had them insured.
Just bought the property right before that.
That's interesting. At the Pentagon, the person in charge there was taken off duty. And a new person was put on the same morning.
That's just like Jeffrey Epstein.
Same morning.
With different guards. What a surprise.
Yes.
That keeps happening.
Yes. So I have a lot of questions? Yes, I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
And maybe I'll play the tape of that gal, of Betty Ong. Poor Betty Ong. I just can't imagine the terrifying, what they went through.
Horrific.
It is. I can't even think about it. It makes me sick. Like you said, it just makes me ill inside. And as a nation, I want to come together and unify on the truth of so we can get to the bottom of it so we don't have it happen again. That's so important to me. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I know I'm free, but I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right.
I really do love that song. I really do. I love it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I'm your host, Kate Daly. You can go to katedalyradio.com. On Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. And on Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. And I've got Susan Reeve with me. We're just talking about 9/11. Hi, Susan.
Hey.
There's a couple of things. I've had several whistleblowers on the show that that have been nationally talking about 9/11. And they were awesome. You can look up those interviews. Gwyneth Todd, Susan Lindauer, was actually told not to by her CIA boss, was told not to go to New York around that time. And then Sybelle Edmonds, who was a translator, and she wrote Operation, I think it was Gladio. And she was fantastic, too, because in the translations and everything else, she can, you know, her books are fantastic. And also she has a wealth of information being a translator. I also wanted to say the PNAC, the Project for a New America, came out and they started devising that in 1997. And then in 2000, a year before, in January of 2000, this was added in one of the major reports from the PNAC. And this is both sides of the aisle, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, all the way down to, I mean, you name it. You name it. And on both sides of the aisle in politics, it was. And they added this: the process of transformation, as they were talking about, increasing the military complex to a level we'd never seen before over the next two decades. This is what their aim was. This is what they wanted to do, because they wanted to make sure. It's what they wanted to do. This is what they said in the document: the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one. Well, you know, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing, even like a new Pearl Harbor. In other words, we need a new Pearl Harbor event.
To galvanize the nation.
And like I said, they have to get your consent to go to war. They have to. Otherwise, if they don't get your consent, this is why false flags happen. This is why things happen. Because if you're not on board, if the American people aren't on board, I'll give you a case in point. Obama wanted to go in and bring troops into Syria, like big time, like, you know, go to war with Syria. And that whole thing was a lie. But he wanted to do that. And he accused him of gassing his people and everything else. We've heard that before. And the American people weren't on board. They said no. And guess what happened? We didn't go. So they have to have your consent, which means that you still have a lot of power in this game as a public. But I wanted to tell you what really got me, because it's one thing to remember 9/11, and a lot of people are paying tribute to 9/11. We're remembering 9/11. We all feel sick about it. It all affected us. But there's another thing to learn so that it doesn't happen again, so that we can see the ringleaders and the people that or at least try to figure out who was really behind this and
the
not the
orchestration.
Story. Yes, and not the story we were given. When 2.3 trillion misses and all the evidence just happens to go bye-bye, and you've got all these people that can benefit from taking out Iraq, which they had already wanted to do, and they had already been very vocal about it, and they'd already come up with documents that they had already released that said that they were going to take Iraq, and that they wanted that country.
And so, wasn't it one of seven countries
yes.
that they just said?
Yes.
And Benghazi was on there.
Yeah, Libya.
Libya
and
Syria.
Somali and, yes, Syria.
Syria, yeah,
for
all
sure.
All a plan.
Iran.
Yes.
And so are they knocking them down one by one? Well, you can decide that. And so the couple of things that really got me were Cece Lyon's phone call. She was on the United flight. She called and she was a flight attendant. And I think she had a couple of calls, and one of the few recorded at the very end of the phone call, you can hear somebody in the background say, "You did great." She was just telling her husband goodbye for the last time. And you could hear somebody say, "You did great." There have been many, many, many people who have said, were there scripts? Were they reading from something because of the way they were
coached, talking? Yes.
Yes. And I want to play this for you real quick. It's just a couple of minutes. This is Betty Ong's phone call. And it's hard to listen to because you just know that this was just horrific. It just makes me ill. Okay. This is the phone call. This is her calling in.
Jack, the cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Which flight are you on?
Flight 12.
And what seat are you in? Ma'am, are you there?
She's not answering.
What seat are you in?
Ma'am, what seat are you in? We just left Boston. We're up in the air.
I know.
We're supposed to go to L.A., and the cockpit's not answering their phone.
Okay, but what seat are you sitting in? What's the number of your seat?
Okay, I'm in my jump seat right now.
Okay.
At 3R.
Okay, you're the flight attendant? I'm sorry, did you say you're the flight attendant?
She's not answering.
Hello?
Yes,
okay.
Hello?
What is your name?
Hi. I'm going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Sure. What is your name?
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11.
Okay.
And the cockpit is not answering their phone. And there's somebody stabbed in business class. And
she said it again.
We can't breathe in business class. Somebody's got mace or
she
something.
She just said that
Can
exact same sentence
Can you describe the person
again.
That you said someone is what in business class?
I'm sitting in the back. Somebody's coming back from business. If you can hold on for 1 second,
sure.
They're coming back.
All right, I'm going to end it there. She says the same things over and over again. She keeps saying, somebody is stabbed in business class. And then she keeps saying, I think there's mace. And she says, we can't breathe. But the entire conversation, she could breathe. The entire conversation, she had no problem breathing. There weren't people coughing in the background. You didn't hear anyone screaming. You didn't hear anybody with anything in the background. And she wasn't having any problem breathing. But she kept saying that over and over again. When they asked her what seat, she kept not answering, just not answering. And a lot of pilots and a lot of airline industry folks have said that was one of the biggest clues that something wasn't off, or she was standing, you know, right in front of somebody on this phone call. But if you ask me what I think happened, I actually think Rebecca Ross' theory holds more water to it than obviously the narrative that only 20% of the nation believes. I think that they, whoever was on that plane with them, I think they thought they were in a drill. I think they might have started realizing that it might not have been a drill. And there were the calm demeanor, the reading of the script, the lines over and over again. So were they on the ground? They very much, after all those sightings, that said a plane that the plane that was described as the plane going, that very plane, they saw land. So that was kind of interesting to me. Were the people brought into an airbase 20 minutes away to make those calls? And that's why they kept upstairs. The hangars there do have stairs and also had no personnel. The personnel was taken off the entire base because it was a very little base, almost no use base, 20 minutes away from Boston. But the base, it was every single person, they were brought out a half an hour away to hotels, and they said they were doing a major cleaning. Were those people on the ground making those calls? Because they couldn't have made them from the air. They couldn't have done it in 2001. And so, and then did the plane go back up? Did the plane go back up and go through the tower? And then what happened to those people? Is it plausible? Well, I have to say it sounds a little bit even more plausible than the narrative to me, just because of all of the pieces. And I'm talking about collectively all of the pieces put together. I'm not talking about just this piece, but everything. The sightings on the ground where they said the plane was flying very low and it was a strange because it was too big of a plane. That plane should have never landed there. That was kind of interesting to me. So it's plausible. I can't say it's fact or truth. I'm just saying it's something definitely to, it would account for the phone calls. It would account for the way they could stay on the phone for 25 minutes or 20 minutes and not be cut off at all. See, you would have been dropped. Even if you could have made the call, you would have been dropped. So there's just no way that could have happened. But with everything else, with the PNAC, with everything else, people say, well, people, in our government and possibly people in other governments, maybe they got together to do this, to grow that industrial complex, to carve out more of the Middle East, to have some sort of reason to go in. Okay?
And to tamp down on our rights.
And exactly. The Patriot Act was already, yep, was already ready to go. Ready to go. That thing was huge and ready to go. They knew exactly. So did everybody, was everybody in on this? No. Was everybody in government, could they have been in on this? No. I don't believe that because I don't believe people would have stood for that. Could you have several ringleaders? Sure. From each country? Sure. Could they have worked together? Absolutely. And here's the other thing. If we don't start to see this and start to answer questions, could this happen again? Could they get away with something like this again? Yeah. And you know what? Innocent life to them. I mean, I know people think that that's something that's just mind-blowing, that something like that would happen. But even in the 60s, Project Northwoods, the joint staff got together, joint chiefs of staff got together and presented Kennedy with this plan. And this plan was all about doing diabolical things that involved innocent people to get us to go to war with Cuba, to make it look like we were provoked. So in this document, which you can find online through the Freedom of Information Act now, it's online, they wanted to blow up a base. They wanted to blow up aircraft. They wanted to sabotage a ship. They don't care who's on it. They wanted to shoot down a ship in Guantanamo Bay. They wanted to blow up a drone. They wanted to take down a plane of college kids. All of these things, they have a list, numbered list of things they presented to Kennedy. And Kennedy said no. And he died right after that. But when I look at this list, I'm kind of horrified that they actually didn't have a problem coming up with all of these things. And they said they wanted the incident to establish a credible attack. They wanted to start rumors, look at through clandestine radio. They wanted to capture Cuban, saboteurs inside the base that were actually friendly. They wanted to start riots. They wanted to, and the list is long. But the fact is they thought of it. They wanted to do it. They presented it. And you don't think that couldn't happen again? I mean, I don't know how people could think that.
Yeah, not only that document, if you search for it, mm-hmm. Northwoods Operation, it is a how-to manual for 9/11. Yeah, with a number
how they do it.
Duplicate mm-hmm. airplanes and yep. CIA proprietary.
To make it look like it's not the real thing.
Right. Yes. And having a rendezvous point with the drone, the passenger carrying aircraft will descend to minimum altitude and go directly into an auxiliary field
right.
at Elgin Air Force Base, where they will evacuate the passengers and mm-hmm. return the aircraft to its original status.
Yeah.
And it will fly like a drone.
And they even said we could develop a communism Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area. We could arrange to cause an incident in the waters of in the vicinity of Havana and make it look like something it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of these things. And so to think that we're not capable, I mean, not us, not the people. We would never do this to each other.
Yeah.
But that we're expendable. And we are.
Yeah, it's very Machiavellian,
mm-hmm.
and it crosses the line. So yeah, there's supposed to be all these safeguards in place yeah. for stuff like this not to
right.
happen.
But let me play this for you, though, because this gives me hope. This gives me hope in mankind. This was at a country concert. This is a normal. This wasn't a Christian anything. This was just a country concert. Listen to this. Just listen to this. It was Florida Georgia Line. Listen to this. Listen to the audience. Touching at a just a regular concert, and I just thought that it just touched me, and I thought I believe in my fellow man, and we are a nation
of good-hearted people.
Truly, yeah, we truly are. We must stop with the cognitive dissonance, and we've just got to get wiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you listening in. And even if you didn't agree with anything we said, that's okay. That's okay. At least maybe we're all thinking about it, right? Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Susan. Be faithful, be fearless. See you tomorrow.